Ladies and gentlemen, the sports leader welcomes you to Murph and Max Power Hour.
Power!
That is all power.
It's no commercials, no BS, no around. Starting with Mike Ruco.
Got a bit.
Followed by today's top six hop six.
Six, six, six.
Top six sports stories. And capped off with a cooler of content.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
It's exactly what you want and everything you need. So grab your coffee.
Who wants coffee?
Pound your juice.
This is some good juice.
Because Murph and Max Power Hour begins.
Fight, fight, fight the power.
Now. To all of those who don the orange and black.
Got a bit.
What Sam Elliott is to narration.
I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that. It's good knowing he's out there, the dude, taking her easy for all us sinners.
This man is to Giants baseball.
Good morning, good afternoon, and sit your butt down.
The San Francisco legend, Mike Ruco.
Hey, welcome back, me.
Joins Murph and Matt.
Save it for the morning show.
Now. Sponsored by your Northern California Honda dealers at NorCalHondaDealers.com. On KNBR 104.5 at 6.8, the sports leader.
Well, you know, you go to the ballpark, you're going to see something you didn't expect to see. Kevin Gausman and Luis Castillo coughing up home runs all over the place. A slugfest breaks out on a cold and windy night. And guess what? The Giants won it 7-6. Really fun win. Let's talk about it with Mike Ruco on the UMA guest line as the Power Hour begins. Mike, that was a dandy last night. A little unexpected twists and turns. Good morning.
Fun. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. That was so much fun. That was such a bitching game, I swear. We go out, you know, and we're just anticipating this strikeout fest. You know, they have a big zone to work with, and you got two guys that are just filthy dirty. And what do we get? We get 4 2-run homers in the first inning. My wife and I looked at each other just going, what the heck? And you know, that's such a jolt. When you're a starting pitcher, you know, you have in your mind you're going to go out there and throw a shutout, and you're going to go 9 innings, and you're going to give up a couple, 2-3 hits or whatever. You're thinking, you know, it's going to be a career night. You just do. You just think that's what's going to happen. And when you give up one run in the first inning, you're like, man. In the second run, you're like, good Lord. And then you give up 2 2-run homers, and you got a 4-spot up there. You know, you can go – your concentration can leave the ballpark. It can go out – in the parking lot, get in the car, go across the bridge, and go home. And I thought both starters did a pretty remarkable job of being able to leave it behind and go forward. But you know, we just didn't expect that. But I've always felt if you're a struggling offense, if you're looking for hits, and they come into it hitting 192 as a group, that's horrible. And I always thought if you could go light up an ace like they did, that's you're going to walk out of there as a team, as an offense, and think, you know what? Okay, it's over. We just beat one of the best arms in baseball, and we did it in a convincing way. Every at-bat was good. It wasn't just the two home runs. It was every at-bat was good. Grinders, they got a lot of pitches out of Castillo. They got him out of the game after 5. He had 98 pitches. See you later. And that's what you do with aces, and that's what good offenses. That's what a good, confident offense will do. So last night's significant for a lot of reasons, and they got the offense back, but I didn't see it at all. I just did not.
Well, you didn't see it, Mike, because it's the first time 4 or more home runs have been hit in the first inning of a game in the history of that park.
Wow.
So that's why you didn't see it. And also, it's the first time, a little statistical oddity, each one of them was a 2-run homer. 4 2-run homers in one inning hasn't happened since 04. And only once since 74. So, I mean, this is the beauty of baseball, right? These crazy, crazy things. The one who got the big swing for the Giants is Mike Yastrzemski. Mike, and that's a guy, you know, we talked to Dwayne about this yesterday. We said, is he go back to his hotel room or his apartment or his house or whatever? Does he grip a little bit? Because it's, you know, you're human. He goes, oh, absolutely. So for him to get those swings, Mike, that was so big. And do you think... I mean, I know you guys don't have access to him, unfortunately, because of the COVID, but is the hand maybe healed up a little bit, or is it just the ebb and flow of baseball? What do you think of the Yaz development there?
Well, I mean, he'd never admit to it. I don't know if that hand's going to feel good for a while, but, you know, he didn't grip a little. You know, he gripped a a lot. Look, this is a guy who spent a long time in the minor leagues, you know, and even, you know, at a point in his career, when he got sent down, he got sent down to double-A ball. That's devastating. And especially when you have it in your heart that, you know, and I'm better than some of these guys that are going past me. Finally got a shot with the Giants, came over, you know, just lit it up in Sacramento, gets to the big leagues, and it all starts to unfold for him. I mean, remember, he had a rough start. He was out the door in Milwaukee. He got to the ballpark, and they had sent him out.
Right, right.
And then Austin Slater comes in and says, I'm a no-go. I got the flu. And so they reactivated him. And all this happened in a period of about 20 minutes. Told him, you're on the lineup. He goes out and get four hits. And when he got the four hits, he never looked back over his shoulder. It was funny. We asked him this year, you know, is it fun coming to camp, you know, knowing you have a job and you knowing you have a spot? He goes, man, I don't ever take that for granted. When you go through what he did, you just don't. So now with him to start off as slow as he has, and he had a bit of a bad break the way he ended spring training, getting hit in the hand. But he's never going to feel comfortable. He's just not. So when I say he was gripping a ton. And for him to get that hit last night, it's going to make him feel better. But look, I mean, he had a two at night and great at bats all the way across the board. He's still hitting .162. Until he's up around .270, he's not going to relax. And I don't even think he will then. It's just not the nature of the beast. Given his journey, he'll never relax.
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine who's a big Boston guy. He's a baseball coach. He's a youth coach. He said, mark my words, Yastrzemski, .270, 25 bombs, 95 ribs. Don't worry about it. I said, okay. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to just take that goal right there, and we'll surge forward on that. Hey, there's a quote from Kevin Gausman, and he says, Longo kind of told me, hey, keep your head down, keep going, keep grinding. We're going to win this game. And just a little bit on Longoria, just, you know, there's a guy who came over and the adjustment period was rough and new park, new coast. He's a California kid, but still everything. And man, oh man, this is the Longoria that Bobby Evans wanted, right? When he traded for him, how locked in he is. And if you could just remark on what you're seeing in his at bats.
Well, I think he's been a good player. You go back the last couple of years, I think he's had good years. And a couple of those years interrupted by getting hit by a pitch and having his hands break, you know, that sets you back. But the first year he was just a fish out of water. I mean, it'd be the same thing if Buster Posey went to another organization. I mean, he would be completely out of water, and you are. And for guys that come up with one organization and do as well as they did, you know, rookies of the year, all-stars, gold gloves. I mean, you're the poster child for an organization. And then when you go someplace else, that's a culture shock. So I do think his first year, he was completely out of whack. But watching his at-bats this spring, and I use Buster Posey to compare him with. You could talk about Buster's at-bats too, what they're going through. They got their balance back. They got their power back in their lower body. Both guys old school. And in regards to Longoria, you know, he goes out there, he just plays. I mean, he gets drilled. I mean, he's got this, that, or whatever malady he has. It doesn't matter. He plays. That's what throwbacks do. That's what old timers do. That's what old school ball players do. And he's an old schooler. But this year, he's had his body. He's had his balance. He's felt good. His hands are great. You look at his home runs. The one he hit last night, that's the first one that's gone to left field. But just heavy-headed bats, relaxed approach. Is there anybody more relaxed in the batter's box than him? No.
No, yeah.
And for him to come up with that big swing of the bat, it was just another shot in the arm. But he's a confident athlete, and he's speaking for everybody around him that is feeling the vibe and the glow. And I think when he said that to Gausman, I don't think his gums were flapping. I think he meant that because Gausman believed it. And guess what? He did grind. He did put his head down. And I think what Gausman did in order to keep his poise, to keep his grind, I thought that was the difference in the game.
Yeah. In fact, let's shine a little light on that. When you saw that, first of all, how the Reds must have gotten that jolt of confidence. I don't know if you saw balls left out over the plate or a little more hang on a split or something, or just great at bats. And then what did you see as he really bore down after that and kept them in the game through six. Maybe if he, you know, given what we saw from Gausman the first couple starts, what was different about last night, and then how did he adjust?
Well, I think he struggled with his release almost through 60 pitches. And certainly in the first inning, I don't think he had his stuff. You saw some of the splits that he threw, and they hung. The pitch that he threw Votto, it was just a good pitch to hit. He jumped on it. And then the split that he threw Moustakas, I mean, Moustakas goes up there. He's looking for an off-speed pitch. And he got one that was up there. Really, it was lazy. It just wasn't, you know, a quick one. And it was up there, right a little bit above the knee, and he jumped on it. I mean, you knew it right out of bed. Boom. 4-0. So I don't think he really – I mean, he threw a couple of good splits, but there was nothing consistent about it. And even more so, I don't think he had his fastball command. They were setting targets away, and they were coming across the plate. He's missing inside. He was missing. And to his credit, I mean, he kept grinding because he didn't have his release. He didn't find it till about the 60th pitch. And even when he went out there in the second inning, you know, they picked him up. They put a four spot up to match the four he gave up. Now it's a brand-new ball game. He's cruising, and then he gets a walk in the second inning, and that walk winds up coming around to score, and they lose the lead again. So I don't think he got his feel for the pitches till late. And if you compare him to the other two starts, he came right out of bed and he had everything going. I mean, he was strike one, in your face, great pitch performance on the split and the fastball, and was very economical with his pitches. And that wasn't the case last night. He struggled with command, but. You know, in that he did, he still found a way to keep his team in the game. And he wound up giving him six. I mean, his last 2.5 innings, I thought he was really good and very efficient. And they really thought he could have gone back out there for the seventh.
Yeah, right. It was a great, great bounce-back performance, and he remains, you know, a guy who gives the Giants a chance to win every time. Is there a comment on Brandon Crawford's power stroke now? Three bombs in April?
Nice.
I mean, I know he's hit, you know, he's got a little pop. Hit 21 one year. He's double digits several years. But three by April 14th is pretty nice, Mike, especially in the cold San Francisco air. Is there something going on with his stroke?
Well, I thought when we got in San Diego, prior to that, I didn't think he had great balance in his swing. He was kind of between thoughts. You know, you get up there and, you know, I'm going to think fastball and you wave through a slider, or I'm going to think slider speed and you're late. You know, it wasn't working. And then all of a sudden we got to the Padres series, and all of a sudden he started to get balance in his swings. He started to get his legs. And I thought he was about ready to get to go off. He hit into some tough luck in that series. But as soon as he's come home, he's been really good. I mean, it's really been hard to get him off balance. That pitch he hit off last night. Now, keep in mind, Luis Castillo, he's one of the nastiest guys in both leagues. I mean, his stuff is legit. And he's a low three-quarter sling with his delivery from the right side. So when you're hitting off him, he's going to have a natural fade that runs flat away from you. And it's a high-velocity pitch. It's 96, 98 miles per hour. Well, the ball that Crawford hit, it's on the outside corner. Again, with movement running away, Crawford goes down there in a two-strike count, and he backspins it over the wall in left field. I mean, that's a perfect swing. That is an absolute perfect. And we all know how strong front-sided he is, how well he does with lefties and whatnot. But off that pitch, off that location, to be able to backspin and get carry to hit it out of the ballpark, that's an exceptional at bat. You can't swing better than that. And he's had a lot of those swings. So I think when he gets going, he gets two things. One, he gets balance in his lower body to the outside part of the plate, and he starts taking walks. And it's happening both times for him.
Well, I mean, everybody wants the next Acuna, the next Juan Soto, and now we got 34-year-old Brandon Crawford and 35-year-old Evan Longoria hitting bombs last night. So shout out the 30-something crowd here doing their thing. And speaking of another 30-something, Mike, when's the last time Buster Posey went first to home? Now, he kind of had to because he looks over his shoulder and Austin Slater's pushing him like, I'm going three, dude. You better keep going. But that, I mean, that was, you know, there was no guarantee Buster makes it all the way. He did. Maybe he's running better with his hips. I mean, what a sight that was last night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's average speed at best. And, you know, the last couple of years he hasn't even been that just because his hip hurt. But to go from first to third and score, and I think he was the tying run at the time, and then he went first to home, and then he went first to third later in the game, he wouldn't have done that the last couple of years. So I mean, it's just another little example of how he's gotten his lower body back, and he's feeling great. I doubt if he'll play today, but it's just so much fun to see an athlete get his body back, and for an exceptional athlete like Posey, we're seeing him spin on the inside pitch. We're seeing him go from first to home on a double. We're seeing him throw guys out on impossible situations, things we saw a lot of in his first 6 years in his career. Now we're seeing it again. I mean, it's remarkable.
It really is. And to see him, I don't know the last time he ran 270 feet unimpeded. So maybe high school, a track meet or something. I don't know. That was great to see. And then, of course, I don't know what Tyler Rogers is doing to great hitters. I mean, he faced the 2-3-4 guys, right? Castellanos, Votto, Moustakas. Mike, these guys, he couldn't see it for the life of them. They couldn't see it last night. What was your breakdown of that whole inning?
Well, I think Kipe had the point that really was relevant to the inning was that, you know, the Reds, they didn't see the Reds last year. They don't know anything about Tyler Rogers. And when you see Tyler Rogers for the first time, advantage Tyler Rogers. And to his credit, you know, he worked low sink and just kept the ball down for the most part to get to the two-strike advantage. And in all three instances, he's got that breaking ball that is literally a rising pitch, rising movement on this pitch. It comes floating in there about 71 miles per hour. I mean, it's like trying to hit a soap bubble. And all of a sudden, he gets Votto above the hands. He gets Castellanos above the hands. And then he gets Moustakas above the hands. All three payoff pitches, that balloon curveball. And it was just a mismatch. I mean, all three guys walked away going, what the hell was that? It wasn't a strike, but when you're sitting there in a two-strike, you got to cover. And by the time you commit to it, it's just kind of it rises above your bat. I thought that was one of the really coolest things that happened in that game last night. But I love the fact that he saved the two-strike surprise, and he put it right where he had to put it. I mean, you could hang that pitch too, but he did. He executed in all three, and he sent three good hitters packing. And I know one thing. We weren't the only people that enjoyed it. Everybody on that team that had a Giants jersey on, they were loving it too.
I mean, seriously, it was startling. He just their swings were terrible against. Do you think they have any chance? What do you do if you're a big leaguer? You go back in the clubhouse. You guys huddle up. You talk about it. You watch film. You watch video. I don't know. How do you adjust? You just get reps against them? I mean, because if he goes out there again today, you know, it could be the same thing.
Your best defense against that pitch is not to swing, but you can't do that until you've seen it. Now that those guys have seen it, now they have a little information in their database. Now they have a chance, but the first time you see that, good luck. I mean, it is completely funky, and I've seen that pitch as a hitter. It is the funkiest thing you've ever seen because you just don't have any other pitch in overhand baseball and hardball baseball that rises. That's it. You're looking at it. And it is so unique because you never see it. You don't see that many true submarine guys. And that's one of Tyler Rogers' really big weapons. And we saw it firsthand last night to three great hitters. And it was great. I mean, the swing that Votto had, it looked like he was underwater. It broke him down. It was awesome.
And that's a fantastic, smart hitter. You know what I mean? That's just not a guy swinging from his heels, man. Amazing. What a performance by him. And then, I mean, I don't know, Mike. We'll say it for the fifth time this season. He's 5-for-5. Shame on Major League Baseball's 29 other teams for letting Jake McGee just sit on the shelf until February. Mike, we were already talking about Brian Wilson this morning about, you know, lights out closers for the Giants. I know Will Smith was an all-star a couple years ago, too, but I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I will. He looks fantastic.
You know, and it's great. And he's just a rock thrower. You know what you're going to get. I think that's the most macho thing about any pitcher is when he can walk out there on that mound and he can throw you what you're looking for. Now, you see guys like, hey, he's got a split and he's going to throw you a split or he's got this or whatever. This is a fastball. And everybody in the big leagues prides themselves in their ability to hit the fastball. If you can't hit the fastball, you can't even apply for the job. And he goes out there, and he just says, here it is, boys. Let's see how you do.
Yeah.
But what he does that's so subtle, and he did it to end the game last night against Tyler Stevenson, the tall catcher that the Reds have, and he's a good fastball hitter. He gets him, and he throws high fastballs to get to an 0-2. Then he keeps pumping high fastballs, and he takes a couple, and he fouls a couple off. And then he changes sight lines and comes down around the knees on the outside corner with a fastball and leaves him standing. completely ballocks the guy. Giants win. Let's go home. And that's how it ends. It was just a change of sight line. Same pitch, but very effective. So I think here's a guy that understands the fastball. He commits to it on every pitch. There's zero nibble in Jake McGee. He's as subtle as a slap in the face.
Yeah.
And it's just it's so macho. It's just country hard. It's just I love it.
Yeah, he's just he really is. Like Brian Wilson comes to mind. Same with the hair too. Just a couple little strategy questions here before we wrap up. I want to ask you about Bumgarner before we let you go. Is the decision to pinch hit for Tommy La Stella? He's 3-for-3. I mean, that's that righty lefty will get you every time. But man, when you're 3-for-3, it's tough to pull a guy. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think the way, you know, look, first of all, I love to watch a guy hit. I mean, he's a smart hitter. Smart hitter, grinder, relaxed, not afraid to hit with two, puts the barrel on the ball. But that's exactly what Kapler's going to do. I mean, and he's told them all, this is how we're doing this. You know, I've got six right-handed guys on the bench. When they start flipping to their left-handers in the pen, I'm going to go to the right-handed bats. The left-handed bats are sitting down. So he sits down La Stella, he sits down Belt. And who else did he sit down? He sit down, who else? Oh, Dickerson.
Yeah,
so all three guys. So there's no surprise. Yeah. I think when you have the honesty to tell your lineup what you're going to do, they can deal with it. You know, before the game, this is how it's going to roll. So, I mean, no matter what you do in those first three at-bats, like go 3-for-3 like with Stella with three great at-bats, you're going to sit. If the bullpen flips to a lefty, we're going to put in Solano. But when you think about it, look who he did have on the bench. He had a lot of good right-handed hitters, a lot of choices. And you know what? They worked. Solano gets a walk in that situation. Slater comes in, and he comes into the game late. He gets a triple. He has two hits. I mean, he comes in as a pinch hitter when they flip. So, you know, I think the upfront honesty from Kapler, they all have bought into. They know what's going to happen, and they're not, you know, they're not upset by it.
What's interesting is he left Slater in even though Bell brought in a righty to face him. He kept him in.
They didn't have any options of that. They only had six guys on the bench, and they were all right-handed, so they had no left-handed options.
Well, there you go. There's the answer. Hey, before we go, two things, actually. One is Bumgarner, and then I want to ask you about Casale and Cueto. But Bumgarner, Mike, this is hurting us. I mean, listen, I know he's a Diamondback, and you want to beat the Diamondbacks, but this is like family to see this out here.
Yeah, we love the guy. Yeah, this is tough.
Where do you go? I mean, is he? What do you do? Do you change your repertoire? Do you start? Do you find a new pitch? Do you just locate differently? Do you go to the bullpen? What do you do?
Go to the bullpen. I mean, I think that's what's eventually going to happen to him. If he can't sustain velocity, if he can't bring quickness back to his breaking ball, then because of his low three-quarter release and his deception in his delivery, I mean, he's a natural to go back in the bullpen. I mean, it's the reality of the game. I mean, you're looking at his pitch performance. What was the thing that was so great about him when he was in his prime? Well, we're never was really velocity. I mean, he was always a low 90s guy, but it looked a lot louder when you were in the batter's box because of his deception. And the other thing he had is he had late movement. He had a cut that came in, and he would jam guys on 90, 91 mile an hour fastballs. Because it had late movement boring in on a righty. His breaking ball was quick. Remember when we first saw him, he was fastball slider. Then he came up with a curveball. Then he came up with a changeup. You know, you have to keep learning. If your stuff's starting to fade, you got to come up with better looks. But right now, we watched him. I mean, he doesn't have that finish on the cut. He doesn't have that quickness to the slider. So right now, I mean, it's like he's hurting you in the rotation. You got to put him in the pen. Because you can use him in the pen. I mean, he's still tough on lefties. The guys who are hurting him right now are right-handers. But and it's not to say he can't come back, but he's going to have to come back as a different pitcher. More change-ups, more two-seam fastballs, work the outer half of the plate. He's going to have to make some adjustments.
Yeah, for sure. And then last one for you. Just you mentioned Posey probably not playing today. We'll see. But if he doesn't, you know, he just had that great outing with Cueto on Friday. You know, is that if you're Cueto, are you a little bummed to see Casale in there, or do they have some sort of, you know, work together in the Cactus League, or, you know, or does Kapler go ahead and play Posey because he has Thursday off and because he and Cueto were so good on Friday?
No, I don't think Johnny Cueto has a problem at all. I mean, you know, Casale, when I first saw him, you know, I wasn't completely convinced, but the last two outings I've seen him, he's been great. And I think that he's relaxed. I think he was still in the process of learning, guys. When I saw him, he'd box a few balls, but that's not happening anymore. The guy can catch. He's a big league catcher, and I think he'll have no problem handling Cueto today or anybody.
Okay, well, it'll be fun, man. What a game today. Giants, Cueto for the second time. They're already 4-1 on the homestand, 7-4 on the year. 8-4 would be amazing. So great chat, Mike. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk Friday.
In a bit.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.